Well, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's good to hear some victory songs. Amen. And you know, maybe you're sitting here today with a heavy heart, or you're going through a test or a trial, or maybe it's just a trial of disinterest. You know what I mean? You know, some people think that the only trials in life are, you know, physical trials or financial trials. Well, sometimes Christians come against a trial of just old-fashioned disinterest.
Right.
You know, in the things of God, you know, and all of a sudden they start to coast, or they start to be less interested or less responsive in the things of God than they used to. I tell you what, you got to shake that stuff off. You got to make sure that you don't let that heavy cloud get on you and rest upon you, because I tell you what, God's got something better. And sometimes, you know, we're sitting there, next thing you know, we're not responding to the victory that God has purchased for us. Well, I'll tell you what, that's what, you know, worship songs, praise songs like that give us an opportunity, amen, just to shout our victory. Amen. Not to be, you know, the dull and the you know, the drab and the, you know, the bored with God and the heaviness. I'll tell you what, sometimes you got to just break those things off. Do something completely different than what your flesh would want you to do. And you're going to need to rejoice anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to call this message Victory and Authority. Hey, this is exactly a message that we need in this day and in this season, because as I've said in some previous messages, you know, and I've let the church know, and many of you are well aware, just personally, that the body of Christ in general has really been going through a season of tests and trial lately, that there's a lot of Christians, not just in this church or, you know, in a couple of the family churches, but I mean, even beyond that, that are really facing some serious trials and tests in their life. And I've known this, that it really has been coming against a lot of faithful born-again believers, that people that really have a heart's desire to serve God, to worship God. All of a sudden, you know, these attacks and these trials and this heaviness, you know, is coming against people. Well, the Bible says, let it not surprise you. You know, it shouldn't be a strange thing. You know, Peter said this in his book of 1 Peter. He said, think it not a strange thing, the fiery trial that will come upon you, right? We shouldn't think it strange, because we know this, that we have a real enemy. The devil does not like us. The devil does not like that you have an uncompromised heart, that you have a desire to serve him faithfully and fully. And of course, he's going to resist. He is going to attack. He is going to try to hinder and impede what God has you to do. But I'll tell you what, listen, no matter how much he tries to stop you, he can't stop you. Amen. And when we cannot lose sight of the victory that Jesus Christ has purchased for us, because we are victorious ones. And there's no circumstance, there is no situation or scenario in this life that can take away the victory that Jesus has given to us.
Amen.
You know, and if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of that victory. We'll stop walking in our authority. And next thing you'll know, we'll start to adopt the fear of things. We'll start to adopt a heavy heart. We'll start allow sadness and discouragement and distraction to come on our life. Well, I'll tell you what, you don't want to give in to those things, because it'll open the door to something far, far worse. All right. And so today, if you're facing something, if you really feel, you know, you're walking, you know, through a heaviness, or, you know, you've been through that, or you're just facing a trial of disinterest or whatever, I'm going to give you through the Bible the way that God has prescribed for us to handle those situations. All right. And I'll just give you the answer right now. It all begins with the authority that Christ has given to us. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. We cannot lose sight of the victory that's already ours. Trials and circumstances will arise to try to convince us that we haven't already won. All right. Don't let a circumstance convince you that you aren't victorious. Come on now. Fear is just trying to get us to change what we believe. All right. It's a tool to try to lift up and remove our faith in the victory that we have. I'll say it like this. Fear is kind of like a pry bar. It's trying to pry and to separate us from a victorious attitude, from a victorious faith. It's always trying to separate us or pry us apart from what God has. It's trying to break in and break down the faith that we have in our victory. All right, don't let that happen. All right, Now, remember this. Before we get to Matthew 28, here's some things that we have to know and understand. Because most trials are an incursion, what that means is that they are a violation or they are a foreign attack from a real enemy. Because, you know, trials, they're a trespass into what God has provided for us. We have to know and understand the difference between prayer, faith, and authority. A lot of times, Christians will just try to pray their way out of a trial. But if that trial is a trespass on what rightfully belongs to you in Christ, it's not just prayer that is needed or required, it's going to be your authority that's going to be required, all right? Now remember, a trespass means that the devil would try to violate something that God has given to you through the new birth, meaning that you've been born again and you entered into covenant with God. God has given you many promises along with the new birth, all right? Those promises, of course, it begins with salvation. It begins with the remission of sin, but it also includes health and healing. It also includes your needs being met, abundantly supplied, right? It also means deliverance from fear and anxiety, all right? It also includes peace. It also includes joy. I'll tell you what, that's why we sing that song, because Christians need to come to a point and say, peace is mine, even if I don't feel like it right now. Even if your you know, emotions are telling you that joy isn't yours right now, the Bible says that joy is the fruit of the born-again spirit. Whether you're feeling it right now or not, it's in there. It's included. Remember, reminds you of that old Prego. You know, remember the old Prego spaghetti sauce commercial? And there's always someone stirring the spaghetti sauce. Hey, where's this? Where's that? It's in there. You know what I mean? And so I'll tell you what, you wonder where joy is. Guess what? Joy is not found in the football game today. You know, praise the Lord, nothing wrong with watching football, unless it's the Buffalo Bills. That team is so awful. Watch, they'll probably win today. I don't know if they're even playing today. Just as long as the New England Patriots win, that's all I care about. Because I love the New England Patriots. I just love them. They're my favorite team. I can't wait to watch them beat the Bills. I'm saying that to stir up people. I'm just a disgruntled Bills fan. All right, do you realize 17 years without a playoff game? Get ready to chalk up another one, because it's coming. If they get to 6-10, you'll be blessed. But anyway, nothing wrong with watching a football game. But I'll tell you what, your joy is not found in there. You know what I mean? People say, well, I'm going to do this to cheer myself up. Well, you know, if you find something that cheers you up, guess what? It won't last. It'll be a superficial. Nothing wrong with going and cheering yourself up or whatever. But I'll tell you what, you need more than just being cheered up. You need to come and release that out of your mouth and say, joy is mine. Yes. Glory to God. And I'm not going to let it be stolen by whatever I'm facing or whatever I'm going through. All right. But so many times Christians will try to pray their way out, or they'll just try to release their faith, which of course we need to pray. We need to release our faith, right? Okay, but some things must be dealt with authority and not just prayer, all right? Let me real quickly, before we get to Matthew 28, give you some real simple definitions and explain what I'm talking about, the difference between prayer, faith, and authority. Number one, prayer. Prayer is real simply this, talking with God, all right? I know that's not a very deep definition, but it's true. All right, prayer is simply talking with God. Prayer might include asking God questions. Prayer might include asking God for wisdom, asking God for direction, seeking God for your next step or the plan of God for your life. Okay, prayer includes all those things. Also, prayer includes praying in the Spirit. That includes, you know, praying out God's perfect plan for our lives. I mean, all those things are just simple avenues of prayer. All right. Prayer may include worshiping Him. Prayer may include praising Him. All right. Prayer just acts sometimes as just a way to be strengthened in God's presence. All right. Just talking with God, fellowshipping, worshiping Him, loving on Him. All right. Now, what's the difference between prayer and faith? Are you ready for this? When you pray, you must always pray in faith. All right? You know, the Bible tells us over there in Hebrews 11:6 that he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we pray, we must believe that God hears us, right? We must pray according to his will, all right? So it's our job to know God's will first when we ask for something. You know, we must believe that he rewards us. We must believe that you know, he hears us when we pray. That is fellowship with God, all right? Praise the Lord. But when we pray, we always use faith. However, when you release faith, not every time you release faith is it a prayer. Right. I can release faith when I pray, but there's also other times when I release faith and it's not during a prayer, okay? For instance, if I just say right now, I am the redeemed of the Lord, that is me releasing faith. That is literally a scripture that, I mean, that is a confession that comes right out of the scripture. Faith is simply this. Are you ready for a definition of faith? Faith is simply believing God's word is true. And faith is released when you speak God's word out of your mouth in the form of a confession. All right? Meaning you confess what God's word says you are. All right? And faith is powerful. And so many Christians, you know, they fail to release their faith. Listen, when God says that you are more than a conqueror through him that loved him, guess what? That's not something you just look at and, you know, just get a fuzzy feeling. That is something that you turn into faith by saying, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me, right? I am, by his stripes, I am the healed of the Lord. Notice I'm saying that, I'm releasing my faith, but it wasn't necessarily in a prayer to God. Now, I can pray to God that way. I can say, Lord, I thank you. I am the blessed of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that angels go before me. No evil befall me, nor plague, no plague near my dwelling. I can say that to God. The Bible says that his word does not return to him void.
That's right.
He loves it when we talk his word back to him. However, I don't have to do that every time I release faith.
Right.
Sometimes I can just say faith. Like, for instance, when I release faith, you know, for the needs of this church, okay, I will say this, 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. I will say that on a daily basis. However, not every time do I say that to God in a prayer. So all prayer requires faith, but not all faith is a prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, praise the Lord. And so we can use, you know, each of these principles in a different way, all right? Now, thirdly, what I want to talk about is authority. There's a difference between prayer, faith, and authority. What authority is and what it does, authority is to guard what God has given to us. Okay? Guard what God has given to us. Authority means legal ownership. God will base a lot of things in our lives based on legal ownership, all right? How many of you are the legal owners of salvation in Christ? Woo, all right, praise the Lord. You became a legal owner through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He gave that to you, all right? And of course, with that came a lot of other things. The Bible says that he legally made you the heirs of the blessing of Abraham, the promise of Abraham. He made you the recipients of the healing of the Lord. Healing legally belongs to the church. It does. It was given to you. It was authorized when Jesus rose again. All right? So you have the authority to protect what God has given to you. All right, authority is to guard what is legally yours.
Yes, good.
All right, and so many times Christians are trying to use prayer with things that only authority can do.
Okay.
When it comes to a trial or a test in your life, if that test is a trespass by the enemy upon something that legally belongs to you in Christ, all right? It is now not prayer that you try to use. It is authority that you use. All right? For example, if illness tries to get on my body, I don't pray it away. I don't pray to God. I don't talk to God about it. I don't. He gave me the authority to deal with it. I use authority to deal with sickness because sickness is an incursion upon what already was given to me in Christ. All right? So many Christians, they'll just try to pray, oh God, heal me. Oh God, I believe that you heal me. Oh God, I believe, Lord, where is it? Lord, I pray, please, please, please. And we start asking God for something that he's already given to us. You know, would you ask me for something that I already gave to you? You know what I mean? If I gave you a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, and let's say you needed a new power sander, and I had already gave you one for your birthday 3 days before, you wouldn't come and ask me for a new one, right? I would say, I already gave that to you, right? It's already yours. Just go use it, right? In the same way, a lot of Christians, we're asking God for things that are already ours. And God does not give us prayer to try to get what he already gave to us. He gave us authority to guard and protect what is rightfully ours. All right? For instance, you know, I would dare say every single one of us in this place, we have a home or an apartment. We either own it or we rent it or whatever. I would dare say that every single one of us probably woke up today with a roof over our heads. Is that everybody? Did you wake up with a roof over your head? If not, come and see me, and we will make sure that tomorrow morning you wake up with a roof over your head, all right? But if you woke up with a roof over your head, no doubt you have personal belongings in your home. You know, you have things of value, things that belong to you. And do you just allow anybody in the middle of the night to walk through that door and help themselves to anything that is legally yours? That is what? That is somebody who is a thief. And you have the authority to expel the thief. You don't permit the thief. You don't hear a thief coming through your door and just lead them over to your TV or to your jewelry or whatever and say, oh, help yourselves. You'd say, no, 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 no. You are going to resist that thief. All right? And you may resist that thief with force. And I highly recommend resist that thief with force. Amen. Don't come breaking into my house, you know, because the authority will be there to prevent a robbery. It'll be there to prevent a thief from taking what is rightfully mine and my family's, all right? Well, why would Christians, we would stop a thief trying to come into our homes. Well, why won't we stop the devil from trying to get into our life and stealing that which is rightfully ours? Come on, because you would use authority. You would use authority to stop somebody from breaking into your home. You might even pick up the phone and call the authorities, right? And a police officer is going to show up there, and you weren't just calling him for the fact that he has a gun on his hip, right? You were also calling him for the fact that he has a badge on his chest. And that badge gives him the authority to handle that thief with force, to arrest him, to stop him, and also to prevent any future robberies, okay? Well, in the same way, God has given us authority to stop the thief from coming into our lives. But often we're trying to talk to God about it. We're trying to ask him to do something about it. And he's looking down at us saying, I gave you the badge. Like if there's a robbery going on in the city, right? The mayor doesn't get out of bed in the middle of the night to go and stop the robber. The mayor doesn't do that. The mayor, he just is the one that signed the badge. He legally gave authority to the officer, and that officer will go and prevent that thief or arrest that thief. In the same way, God is not going to pace the floor. God is not going to come on down and stop the devil for us. He has already signed the badge in the blood of his son and has given the church authority to stop these incursions and trespasses of the enemy into our life. All right? Praise the Lord. So many things people are trying to use prayer to prevent, or prayer to stop, you know, what the enemy's doing. God gave us authority to stop what the enemy is doing. Come on now. Right? For example, I already said this. If sickness tries to get on my body, authority is what I use. If an illness tries to get on my body, I say in Jesus' name, sickness, you are trespassing upon the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are violating my legal ownership of healing. In Jesus' name, get off my body. All right? I don't pray to God about it. I don't sit there and say, oh God, you know, I pray, wait, you said the healing and this, and Lord. And he's going to look down at us. He's going to say, I gave you authority.
Yes.
Let me show you this real quickly. I know we're in Matthew 28. I promise we will get there. Can you bring up Luke 10:19 just again? Actually, why don't we start in Luke 10:17? Actually, why don't you hold your place in Matthew chapter 28 and go over to Luke. We'll get to this. Go to Luke's gospel, chapter 10. And in chapter 10, Jesus gives 70 individuals his authority. You could kind of say it this way. They were a test group. They were like a test group. You know how when they will release new products, they will get a little group of people together. Like if they're going to release a new iPhone or a new computer, they'll get a test group of people together and they'll let them play with the phone and the computer and they'll get their opinions on it and stuff. Jesus did that while he was on this earth. And he started with these 70 individuals. And he says, I'm going to give you my authority. Now go out into this life, and he said, raise the dead, cast out demons, heal the sick.
Right.
Remember he did that?
Yes.
And remember the 70 go out, and then they come back to him? And this is where we pick it up in Luke 10:17. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name, meaning demons. They went out and they said, every demon got out of our way when we used your name.
Yeah.
We used your authority.
Yes.
We used, you know, your name, and everything just changed. Demons ran from us. Sicknesses were healed. The dead were raised. All these things happened. And look at Jesus' very peculiar response in verse 18. Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Right.
Isn't that an interesting response? Because you think these people are like, man, my goodness, you know, I used your authority and it worked, and sicknesses and, you know, people with fear were delivered and all this stuff, you know. And Jesus said, yeah, I know, I saw the devil fall like lightning out of heaven.
Right.
You know, and where did he fall to? He fell to the earth. That was Jesus saying, yeah, I know, my authority will work on this earth against the enemy.
Right. Amen.
He said, don't be so surprised. Because Satan is here, demons are here, and if you are going to rule over them in this life, you're going to need to know something about authority.
Yeah.
And folks, I'm telling you, we're in the days and the hour where it is not popular for churches to preach about the devil being a real being. It is not a popular doctrine. You know, I've told you this before, but I saw a survey of evangelical Christians, evangelicals, born-again Christians, that 50% of them didn't believe that the devil is a real being. That 50% believe that he is just a metaphor for all evil and troubles in this life. I'll tell you what, if the devil has half of us hoodwinked into believing that he doesn't even exist, then the church is in trouble. And the church will be in a bad, bad place if we think, no, he's just a metaphor. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not trying to lift up the devil, but I'll tell you what, he's not a metaphor. He's not figurative, right? He's not a representation of something. He is a real being, and he's on this earth. And Jesus said, I saw him fall to the earth like lightning. All right? And of course, Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, stalketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, I'll tell you what, the first ones he's going to devour are the ones that don't even believe he's real.
Yeah.
If you don't believe he's real, you're not going to resist him.
That's exactly.
And if you're not going to resist him, God's not going to resist him for you.
That's right.
Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Yeah.
Jesus has done everything about the devil he's ever going to do. He stripped him of his power, and he gave his people authority on this earth.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus said, yeah, I know. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He's here. And that's why they're saying, man, everything is working as we use your name. And then verse 19, again, here's the subject group. Here's that test group. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's awesome. Jesus is explaining to them why it was working. He said, behold, I give unto you power. That word power there is the word authority. I give to you authority to tread upon demons.
Yes.
and the power of the enemy. And notice, I love the second half of this verse. It says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a former school teacher, and the word nothing is a compound word that means not one thing.
That's good.
Not one thing can withstand the authority in the mouth of a believer who knows it and knows how to understand it. Anything that's on this earth that is designed to hurt you cannot withstand the power of the authority that God has given to the church. And this authority is to be executed upon this earth. It's not something that you're going to get in the suite by and by. It's not for heaven. It's for right now. There's things on this earth that are seeking to devour. They're seeking to harm. They're seeking to hurt. Jesus knew it, and so he came up with the answer.
Right.
And the answer was authority. He said, I'm going to give you authority. And if you'll use it, it's over all the power of the enemy.
Yeah.
It's better. It's bigger than the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the fear of the enemy. It's bigger than the suicidal thoughts.
Come on.
Right? It's bigger than the sickness.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the disease. It's bigger than the depression. It's bigger than the poverty. It's bigger, it's bigger, it's bigger. Right?
Yeah.
He says, and nothing shall by any means.
That's right.
You know, that wasn't a figure of speech. We say, oh, by any means. That means any way, any device, any way you could think of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's by physical means, not going to hurt you.
Right.
Whether it's by financial means, not going to hurt you. Whether by mental means, not going to hurt you. Whatever comes against you. But again, here's Jesus giving the badge to his people. He is not going to come down and intercept the devil on our behalf. He gave you the badge. That police officer isn't going to run to the robbery and all of a sudden call the mayor and say, Mayor, you should come down here and handle this. No, that mayor is going to say, I'm going back to sleep. That's why you have the badge. That's why you have the gun. That's why you have the handcuffs. That's why you have the squad car.
That's right. Amen.
Come on now. And, you know, I'll tell you what, there is a lot of weak Christians. There's a lot of weak Christians because they're just thinking that if they ask God enough, he will deal with that trespass. God doesn't deal with trespasses. He gave you the authority to deal with them. Oh, praise the Lord. And if you're not quite sure about that, let me give you another verse. Can you bring up James 4:7? I think this would be a good time. Again, I know you're turned to Luke 10, but I'll just show you up here real quick. James 4:7 says, you submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
That's right.
God's not going to submit you for you.
Yeah.
Your choice to be submitted to God. That word submission is a very scary word to a lot of people. Because when you're fully submitted and committed to God, he is going to be first no matter what. Submitted means that he is first in your life and nothing else comes before him.
Right.
Not your hobbies, not your time, you know, praise the Lord. You are submitted to God. See, that's the first half of this verse. A lot of Christians aren't submitted to God, and then they're wondering why it's not working. All right, but notice the rest of it says, you resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. You know, so many Christians are scared of the devil when actually the devil's scared of you.
Yes.
He is terrified to think that a Christian will understand who they are.
Yeah.
The devil will be terrified. He will flee. He will run away from a Christian that understands their authority in Christ.
Right.
Listen, guess what? Folks, you know as your pastor, I am here for you. I love you with all of my heart. You are special to me. I'm committed to you. But guess what? I am not there to be the police officer in your life. My job is to make you aware of the authority that Christ has committed to you, right? I mean, that doesn't mean you can't call me. That doesn't mean I won't be there the best I know how. But I tell you what, my authority doesn't work as good on your stuff as your authority works on your stuff, all right? I am not here to make you dependent upon me. I am here to make you dependent upon what Christ has given you. Where, the first reaction, oh my goodness, isn't, wait, call my pastor. The first reaction is in Jesus' name. Nothing wrong with calling your pastor. Do not, there's other people, they've misunderstood when I say stuff like that. They think, oh, that pastor, he's just insensitive and he's not accessible. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying I have failed you as a pastor if I have made you dependent upon me. I have failed you. If I make any pastor that wants people dependent on them, he's a power monger. You know what I mean? He's trying to fill a void in his life. Listen, I'm not here to get people dependent on me. I want you to use your authority in Christ. Amen. When the devil knocks on your door, you don't call me. The devil, you step up and you use your authority. And guess what? This is what shocks people. To use my authority, I don't need to talk to God about it. Like I said, if a symptom should show up on my body, I don't talk to God about it. Right? I say, symptom, you are not permitted upon this body. Or my children, or my wife. Praise the Lord. And also on this church. Because there's authority that's granted to the pastor in that setting. All right? So notice, who's going to submit to God? You are. Who's going to resist the devil? You are. Who's he going to flee from? You. Praise the Lord. And so you are authorized. Amen. Now, go over to Matthew 28. I promised you we would get there, and here we go. Well, Pastor, I thought the message was winding down. Oh, I have barely even gotten started yet. But Pastor, don't you know that the Apple Festival is today? I'm trying to get to the Apple Festival. And I'll tell you what, you did real well. You did real well. Praise the Lord. You filled the sanctuary when you could be eating apple or drinking apple cider and eating apple fritters and throwing pumpkins or that's all fine and good. You'll get to do that by about 2 or 3 o'clock today. Just in time for them to close up shop. No. Well, you know. Matthew 28, look at this. And let's start in verse 18. All right. Jesus. Now this is post-resurrection, but pre-ascension. Meaning this is after Jesus has risen from the dead, but before he ascends, all right, and goes back into heaven. And let's go there, Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke unto them. Who is the them? The them is the disciples, the believers, or we could say it this way, the church.
Yeah.
Right? Those that would raise up the early church. So you could say it this way, he's saying it to us as much as he was saying it to them. Folks, get a hold of this. You know, if you want a motivational speech, I don't give those here. I teach pure doctrine of how to live in this Christian life when you walk out this door. We could sit here and I could give you a speech and we could read a poem and we could all be kumbaya and, you know, slap high fives as we leave. But then we go out there where real life is and the real devil is, where he's knocking on doors, pushing things over, you know, pushing over Christians who just don't know their authority. And the one thing that bothers me is when I see the devil eating people's lunch. When I think that is a born-again child of God, a member of the body of Jesus Christ with the authority of heaven and earth behind them. Come on now. Yeah. So, well, Pastor, you just seem, you know, bold about, you know, this. Well, I'll tell you what, there's only one way to face the devil. With boldness, not weakness. You know, I'll tell you what, it's amazing how those trials in your life, they are going to change. You are going to overcome them when you stand up and you get bold. And you say, devil, take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my children. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my mind. Take your hands off. And you didn't even need to talk to God about it first, and you didn't need to call the pastor. There was something, that boldness just rose up on the inside of you and you dealt with it. And there's people that said, well, that just seems weird and extreme. Well, if you think the Bible is weird and extreme, I have no help for you. There is no help for someone that thinks, this isn't for me. Well, then if this isn't for you, well, then destruction is for you then.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Then the devil beating you up for the rest of your life must be for you. This is for you.
Yes.
You say, well, it's not for me. Well, then we better ask you if you're born again. Because if you're born again, this is for you.
Good.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know? All right. He says, all power, verse 18, he's speaking to us, the church. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, Jesus is speaking to us, and the word power there is again the Greek word for authority. All right? All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, which is really interesting that Jesus said this, because what is Jesus about to do when he said this? He's about to what? Leave. He's about to go to the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus says, all authority is given to me of heaven and in earth. But Jesus says, but I'm physically about to leave the earth. But did his authority leave the earth? No. He left the earth, but guess what? His authority is still here. This gives us the idea that God has a plan for his people on this earth. And that plan will only come to pass if his people understand authority. If they don't understand authority on the earth, God's plans will go unreached or unachieved. Right? So God has a plan. That plan includes authority, and that plan includes us knowing and using that authority. Because why would he say heaven and earth? It's easy to believe, well, of course, Jesus has authority in heaven. He's there. Well, guess what? The same authority that he has in heaven, he still has on this earth, even though he physically is not here. But he is here in the form of you and I. And guess what? The same authority that was on this earth when he walked around the Holy Land is the same authority that is here right now. Hallelujah. Because it is all authority in heaven and in earth. Jesus is in heaven, but we are on earth. Is there anyone here today that plans on being on earth a little bit longer? Yeah, all right. Unless Jesus returns in our life, this is where we're going to be. And if you're going to fulfill God's plan on this planet, all right, you're going to need to know this authority. Because look at the very next words he said to them in verse 19. He said, go ye therefore. What is he saying? He's delegating his authority to the church. He's saying, all authority is entrusted into me. He says, now you go. And he's saying what? Go in my authority. Watch what he says. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When God uses his name, it is a reference to authority. Yes. How are we teaching today? We're teaching under the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. When we water baptize somebody, guess what? Whose authority are we doing that in? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. When we lay hands for someone to be filled with the Spirit, it's done in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because it's the authority granted to the church to execute these things on this earth. Aren't you glad? Yes. And now look what he says in verse 20. Teaching them, of course, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Not that I suggested. God's word is not a suggestion. It's a command, because that's what authority always does. Authority is a command. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. All right? Praise the Lord. And he says, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Well, the end of the world has not come yet. So guess who he is still with? He's with us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Hallelujah. And guess what? His authority is still with us. This is the answer to what you are facing.
Yes, it is.
If that trial on your life is a trespass of the enemy, it is not prayer. It's not about how many hours you pray about that situation. I'm not telling you not to pray. I'm telling you that authority needs to be used. Authority is the right tool to use on a trespass of the enemy. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. We are his authority in his jurisdiction. We are literally the replacements of Jesus when he left.
That's right.
He said, I need some replacements. You know, reinforcements, whatever you want to call it. He said, I'm going away, but my authority is going to stay right here in each one of you.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Amen.
How awesome is that? Amen. Go ye therefore. People needed to be saved. Go ye therefore in my authority. People need to be healed. Go ye therefore. Yeah. People need to be set free. Go ye therefore. Yeah. People need to be taught. Go ye therefore. Yeah. See, authority is the power to act in Christ's stead. That means literally we act in his absence. Yeah. That's what authority is. That's what authority does. Amen. Jesus was giving the world a replacement for himself. He was giving the world his church.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, his body, his believers. That's us. You know, and so many times believers are bogged down with their own personal trials that they never get to be a blessing to anybody. All right? Well, if we start to understand authority, we start mastering those trials. So, you know, what is going on in the life of a believer that isn't facing a major trial right now? Well, you're free to be a blessing. You're free to be a blessing. Yeah. Then go set someone free of their trial. Use your authority for somebody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because authority will always have a command. This is what authority does. It sets forth a command. Amen. Let me show you this real quickly. You're in Matthew. Go to chapter 8. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's take a look at how authority works. Amen. I'll tell you what, you got the answer here today. That's why we're singing victory songs. Because don't you dare let a circumstance or a trial convince you that victory isn't yours. You know what I mean? That heaviness, you know, you just go ahead, you use your authority, you shake that off. You know, that burden, you know, the Bible says over there in Psalm 55:22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. I like that. That word moved, it means shaken. It means to be unstilled. He says, he will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Notice that's exactly it. The devil is trying to move us off what is already ours. So many Christians are like, oh, if I could just get there. When the Bible says you are there, now just don't let the devil move you off from it. People are always trying to get what God has already given them. Don't try to get what God has already given you. Protect what God has already given you. Guard it. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Now, let's see here. Go down to verse 5. Matthew 8, 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him or begging him. A centurion is a captain of the army. He had 100 soldiers under his command. All right, so we know that that centurion, if you're an army captain, you are in a position of authority. Yes. All right, watch this. Now, in verse 6, he was begging the Lord and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Well, praise the Lord. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So there's a man in the army who had natural authority, who's talking to Jesus, who has spiritual authority. The natural authority could command soldiers, but it could not command illness. All right? But Jesus had the authority to command illness. Watch what this man says. All right? He tells the Lord, I'm not worthy for you to even come into my house, but if you'll just speak that word only, my servant will be healed. Look at verse 9. For the army captain, he says, for I am a man under authority. Everyone say authority.
Authority.
He says, for I am a man under authority. What he's saying is, I'm like you, I'm a man under authority too. He says, having soldiers under me.
Right.
Everyone say under.
Under.
Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, and so this is what authority is. That means that something is under you.
Good.
That is what authority is dealing with things that are under you, even if they try to act like they're over you. What happens to a private first class in the Marines if he tries to act equal or above a sergeant? Oh, bad things, man. right? Bad things. I have stories of people that I know that accidentally have done that in the military, where they started talking to a sergeant, someone that was above them in rank, and tried to be equal, right, or above, and things don't go pretty for that individual, right? He says, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." Though, meaning those soldiers better not act equal to me or over me.
Right?
Does the devil ever try to act like he's over you? All the time. He's always trying to act over you. He's always trying to take those things that are under your feet and try to portray them as being over your head. Right? He says, "But I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me." He says, "I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I say to another soldier, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Now in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Did Jesus approve of this man's take on authority? Jesus marveled and said, "What this man believes is so great, I have not even found anyone else that will believe like this man."
Right.
Wow. So that was Jesus verifying what that man said in verse 9 is absolutely the truth.
Yes.
So go back to verse 9. All right? Look at in verse 9. The man said, "I'm a man under authority." Authority will be, like I said, that means that there are things under you. Okay? And there are things that are under you that must obey your command.
That's correct.
Authority, again, it's not prayer.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes, right.
You know, he didn't have to pray to God to tell that soldier where to go. He didn't have to, you know, it wasn't about how many hours he prayed about that situation. He says, "I understand authority.
Right.
I speak to this one and I say, go away, he goes away. I tell another one, come here, and he comes here. I tell my servant, do this, and it gets done."
Right.
That's what authority is. It is giving the command to things that are under you.
Yes.
You might as well make a list right now of everything God says is under your feet.
That's right.
Come on. You know, I'll just show you some things. Well, I know I can find them. You don't need to turn there, but bring up Psalm 91. And I'll show you a verse. Psalm 91, in verse 13, praise the Lord. Now, Jesus already said in Luke 10:19, "You shall tread upon serpents and scorpions."
Yes.
All right? Demons and devils. Where are they? Under your feet. Yeah. "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder." The adder is a viper or a serpent. "The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet." Praise the Lord. Now, the lion, the serpent, and the dragon are all references to who? Satan and anything related to him. All right? You need to ask yourself, is God making people sick on this earth? No. Who is? The devil. Who, you know, so that means the devil is under your feet. That means that sickness is under your feet. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. I believe God has a reason to make people sick." Well, you believe wrong. You believe wrong. Say, "Well, I don't know." Well, how about Acts 10:38? We'll show you with the scripture. You know, we cannot believe wrong and expect God to move in our lives. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How many of you believe that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth? I believe that. How many of you believe that the Holy Ghost and with power God anointed him? Yes. Who, Jesus, went about doing good. He does good. And what did Jesus do? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's one verse that it is impossible to make God the author of sickness. Because in one scripture, we have three mentioned. We have God, well, we actually have four. We have God, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Ghost, and we have the devil. Okay? The Holy Ghost was with Jesus, sent by God, who healed all that were oppressed of the who? The devil. Who made those people sick? The devil. Who oppresses people? The devil. God is not the oppressor. The Holy Ghost is not the oppressor. Jesus is not the oppressor. The devil tries to make people sick. And that doesn't mean that a sick person is the devil. Doesn't mean the sick person is evil. It means that we've all been tested in our bodies. All right, and we know that the author and the source of those things is not God. But when you identify the source and you say, I know that that's a trespass against God's healing in my life, right? Then I know I can use my authority.
Amen. That's right.
That's what authority does.
Yes.
Jesus was just anointed with God's authority.
Yeah.
And he did good. And he healed because God was with him.
That's right.
He undid the works of the devil. All right? And so when there's a trespass into our lives from the enemy, guess whose job it is? To stand up bold with their authority and put that thing to an end. So, well, Pastor, I did that, and a day later, nothing changed. Well, that doesn't mean it's going to change in a day. You know, maybe it will, maybe it won't. That's in the natural realm, but in the spirit realm, I can tell you it did change. Something changed, something moved, something was broken that you couldn't see. You know, you say, well, Pastor, I just, you know, I feel intimidated to do this. I feel unworthy to actually do this. If you are dealing with thoughts of unworthiness, what that is that's shame. And what you need to do, see, this is where prayer comes in. The more time you spend in the presence of God, the more that shame is lifted. The more revelation you have that shame isn't mine anymore. There is not an ounce of shame on my life. You say, well, Pastor, you're bragging. No, I'm not. I'm not saying that about me. It's only because I've spent enough time with God and with his word. There is no shame on my life. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean you've done everything right every minute of every day for your whole life? No, don't mean that. It means that Jesus took and bore my shame on the cross, and I've just decided to believe him.
Amen.
And so the devil can try to remind me of every rotten thing I did in my past. It don't matter. I'll tell you about it. I'll post it on Facebook if you want. You know what I mean? You know, I'm speaking just, you know, in an illustration factor. I mean, if you really want me to, I'll just tell people, listen, you know, anything I did, you know, that was the old address. There's a new tenant now, you know. I've had people come up to me and tell me, how dare you be a pastor? I used to know you in your old life. I said, well, there's a new tenant here. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Stop living in your past. Start walking in authority right now. Because you know what I mean? Shame will remind you of the past, but I tell you, authority will secure your future. And that's what authority is about. You walking in the plan of God for your life on this earth. The plan of God for your marriage, the plan of God for your children. Hallelujah. You know, stop trying to just, worry at God's feet and think that thing's going to go away. Stop that. You know, say, well, I feel unworthy. Well, then you need to spend time with God. You need to spend time with his word. And if that 2 Corinthians 5:17, if that's just one verse, you have to read over and over and build it into your heart. You know, if any man, women included, be in Christ, he's a new creation.
Yes.
Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
Amen.
That right there is enough to change your life forever.
Yes.
Because God's not looking at your past. Aren't you glad? So now that we got shame out of the way, now that we got unworthiness out of the way, now I can boldly step forward and use my authority.
Good.
Say, well, Pastor, what does it look like and what does it sound like? I have already demonstrated this today. I'll do it again. Whether it's a symptom on your body, symptom on your family, whether it's any kind of trespass, whether it's depression in your mind, because that's a trespass against peace that God gave to you. You know, suicidal thoughts, anxiety and fear. The Bible says that fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, okay? And so when fear tries to knock on my door, it's real simple. I will speak to fear as if it is a personality because it is. Fear is not just an emotion. It is literally a demonic spirit behind it. And when that spirit of fear tries to knock on my door, I'll use it by name. I'll say, fear, in Jesus' name, you have no place in me. I command you to go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's all it took. I didn't have to pray for 6 hours to God about it. I just use my authority. Yeah, amen. And If there's a symptom, I say, sickness, in Jesus' name, I command you. You are trespassing against the temple of the Holy Ghost. Get off my body in Jesus' name.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Thoughts that come against, you know, thoughts of depression, thoughts of anxiety. I know you never have had those things, you know, try to come against you. Yes, you have. When those thoughts try to enter your mind, you say, no. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:31? He said, take no thought saying. He didn't say take no thought thinking. All right? You are going to have to say. Authority is used through your voice, not through your thoughts. So many times, like, oh, I'll just think it away. You can't. You're going to have to say something. In Jesus' name, fear, you go. In Jesus' name, illness, you're not permitted here, go. All right? Say, well, Pastor, do I say that while I'm checking out at Walmart? Well, maybe you wait until you get into the vehicle outside. I don't mind. Listen, there's plenty of places I'll use my authority under my breath. You don't have to be the loudest in the room. You know, there'll be thoughts that'll come to me, you know, whether I'm in my office, I'm in my vehicle, I'm in the grocery store or whatever it is, and I'll just say, that's not my thought in Jesus' name. You know, maybe there's nobody in the aisle, but I'm not trying to be noticed. I'm not trying to draw attention, right? I am simply, I use the authority, whether, you know, if you have to wait until you get into the privacy of your home or your vehicle or whatever, but listen, you don't have to scream it. You don't have to shout the devil down. You are not there to shout the devil out of the atmosphere and all that stuff. Dear Lord. Anyway, we'll teach that a different day. But all you need to say is, in Jesus' name, leave. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to wait for a fuzzy feeling. You don't have to pray in tongues for an hour before you do. Praying will help you to be bold, but in and of itself, it's not the same as authority. All right? I don't have to work it up. I don't have to whip it up. I don't have to call Sister Prayer Warrior and Brother Mega Faithful, you know, before I finally have the courage to use my authority. I don't have to work up a poetic thing. I mean, one sentence is enough. What did that man say? He says, I tell this guy, go. I tell the other one, come here. And I tell this one, do this. He didn't work. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't intricate. He didn't worry about being articulate enough. He just said it and it happened. Amen. Did you get some help here today?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, don't you just, you know, come to church and think, well, that made for good preaching and, you know, the time went quick, hopefully, praise the Lord, and, you know, it just entertained you for a little while. This is what you need to know out there. You need to know that more out there than you need to know it in here. It's easy when you're with the corporate anointing. There's very little that can penetrate the corporate anointing. I mean, it is the safest place for you, all right? Of course, you're connected to your church, you have a covering and so on, but out there is where you need this the most, all right? Your marriage needs your authority, right? Your children need your authority. Your job and your business need your authority. Your church needs your authority, all right? Amen. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, so let's shake off those trials. Listen, you know, that heaviness and that season of attack or whatever that's trying to get on people, let's not think of such a strange thing. We know what to do now. We know what to do. And the devil has no answer for it because not one thing can harm you.
That's right, not one thing.
All authority in heaven and earth belongs to you through Christ, not by yourself, but through him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We glorify you.